This had major consequences because now the Levantine ports were securely in the hands of the Italian merchant communities, who had the links and the means and the banking to move all of those exotic Near Eastern goods into the European markets on a very regular and predictable basis. And this is a feature that is going to continue throughout the 12th and 13th century, and I shall return to it. And it is an important aspect in the rising prosperity of the Italian cities in the late Middle Ages and the extremely important role Genoa and Venice come to play. One of the big commodities that the Italians brought into the Levant, which is often missed, is just specie, coin, money. Silver, European silver, arrived through the ports in payment of all these goods. And these goods ran the full range, not only the products produced in Outremer on the plantations and in the village farms, but also products imported from farther east, such as pepper, silks, you name it. Exotic goods originating out of India or China. This was paid in European silver, and at the time of the Crusades, the Near East, especially the Islamic Near East, was essentially suffering a silver famine, as some economic historians would call it. And there's a variety of reasons for this after the collapse of Abbasid political and even economic authority shortly after 900. And it would be the steady importing of silver through Italians that would be in large part responsible for the reminting of substantial silver coinages by Arab authorities, Muslim authorities, to be more accurate. That would include Saladin and his successors in Egypt, as well as authorities in Syria and farther east. So it was a two-way street here. There was a certain symbiosis that emerged between the Europeans carrying out all of this trade in the Mediterranean, acting as the agents of the goods of the Near East. And this was an enduring link that was forged in that early 12th century settlement. Jerusalem, on the other hand, didn't fare quite as well as the ports. And there's some reasons for that. First, the city was ruthlessly sacked. It's difficult to know how large Jerusalem was at any time. We really have very poor evidence on this. And in the Islamic period, the city was not really considered all that important. It had a holy status of sorts, but it did not really assume the status as the third holy city of Islam until Saladin made it that way in order to keep himself on the throne and give a justification for his own position in Egypt. By the time of the siege in 1099, when the Crusaders first took the city, it may have had a population at the point somewhere around 30,000, that is, the city and its refugees. A good deal of the population had fled. The Fatimid garrison had actually expelled a large number of Christians, and that population was essentially destroyed. What the city's population was a generation earlier, it may have been double 30,000 for all we know. But by the time Baldwin I ruled in Jerusalem, it was a ghost town. And Baldwin the First came to rule in Jerusalem. It was a ghost town. Baldwin the First and his cousin Baldwin the Second made great efforts to bring in settlers. Number of the settlers were usually Syrian Christians, many of them dwelling east of the Jordan. They were brought in. There was a constant settling of pilgrims. There's been some rather clever study done on the street names of Jerusalem in the Crusader period. We really can't excavate the Crusader city. It's essentially gone. But they show streets where Europeans from across all of Europe settled and apparently replenished the population. But Jerusalem ultimately remained a rather small city. It never regained its former glory. It was also not of attractive to the Italians. It didn't offer any great banking and commercial opportunities. And that probably is the prime reason why the Knights Templar ended up running the banking system in Jerusalem, is they had no competitors and they really had very little choice. Jerusalem really lived on the pilgrimage trade and was almost a magnet to attract Western Europeans as pilgrims and crusaders who had to come through the ports. And the ports were the real reason why many of the Italians and the European settlers were coming out to the Levant, if they were motivated by economic means. So Jerusalem ultimately remained something I always think of a bit of a melancholy city, although the kings made every effort to try to expand and improve the city. The greatest achievement was the dedication by Baldwin III of a rebuilt Church of the Holy Sepulchre in 1149. That was a great event. It probably represented two decades of efforts and patronage by the kings, and I think was a major reason for the minting of a consistent silver coinage in Jerusalem, European-style silver coinage, as well as a revival of some of the economic life. I mean, royal patronage got Jerusalem up to a certain level by the mid-12th century.